As we've reported here on KNKX, some clear patterns have emerged when it comes to who is testing positive for COVID-19. One is that people of color are affected at higher rates than white people. In Washington state, the Latino population is being hit especially hard. More than a third of the state's COVID-19 patients have been Latino, even though they make up just 13% of the state's population. This is what Dr. Julian Perez sees playing out at CIMAR Community Health. More from KNKX's Will James.
CIMAR is a network of clinics originally founded to care for immigrant farm workers. Dr. Perez works out of White Center, south of Seattle. About 40% of CIMAR's patients are Latino. Yet he says Latinos make up more than 80% of CIMAR's COVID-19 cases. Dr. Perez recalls one patient who tested positive.
At the time, I said, "So what's going on in your work?" And she said, "Well, I work at a restaurant in the area, and everybody there is sick. Everybody's coughing. We've reported it to the boss. The boss is on vacation and tells us we have to stay there and keep working or else we'll be fired." I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah, please don't tell anybody. I'll be fired." So, of course, what did I do? I went to public health and I told them, and they are investigating that business.
Dr. Perez says the patient told him she's not the only one.
She has lots of friends who are working in restaurants, and they're under the same types of conditions where they're being told to work. And of course, if they're sick, they'll send them home, but they don't send them home very long. They usually call them up 2 or 3 days later and say, "Are you in the hospital?" "No." "Can you come back to work?" "Yes." "Okay, get back to work." And then they come home and they're sick and they spread to their family.
So one likely reason for the high rates of infection among Latino patients is many have had to continue working in the service industry. But Dr. Perez thinks there's something else at play too. It's a gap in communication. Since March, public health officials have been driving home the same messages. COVID-19 is dangerous, and the best way to prevent it is to stay away from other people. But Dr. Perez says there was a moment when he suspected that message wasn't reaching some of his Spanish-speaking patients. It was after Easter.
Most of our patients are Catholic, and the sun was out. It was quite beautiful, and I'm quite sure that some of our patients were gathering with family or friends or having barbecues, knowing that they were not supposed to do that, but they felt, well, we'll just get away with it, you know, this one time. And so we saw a bump. So there's a little bit of a lag in the disease because it takes maybe 3 days to set in. It takes about 7 days to become severe. So it was about 7 days after Holy Week and Easter, we saw a bump.
Dr. Perez saw a chance to help his patients before they ever got to his office. It meant stepping out of the clinic and into a role as messenger.
We own and operate 2 radio stations, so we're able to do our own programming, and I speak every day around noon, and I do an hour from 11 to 12 every Wednesday.
La pandemia del COVID-19. ¿Cómo te va? ¿Cómo estás hoy, Julián?
Bien, saludable, la familia, saludable.
I'm not seeing our Spanish-speaking patients wearing masks. I constantly go in the room and they're not wearing something. I say, "Can you please cover your mouth and nose?" And so there is some kind of a public health messaging in that standpoint that's not getting through. "Oh, but I don't have a mask." I said, "Well, do you have a t-shirt? Do you have a bandana? Sock?" I'm like, "Anything. It doesn't matter. You know, just let's cover up." Because entre todos venceremos, right? The message is, if we all do it, it will work. But if we don't, it won't.
Even with this high rate of infection in Washington's Latino population, there's a weird bright spot. That high rate of infection is not translating to an equally high rate of death from COVID-19. In fact, Latinos are underrepresented in the death count. There's been no scientific study why, and of course, as we get more accurate data, those numbers might change. But if Latino residents really are dying at lower rates, Dr. Perez has an idea why.
Most of our patients that are here are young. Our patients tend to be living in dense situations. A 2-bedroom apartment may have 2 families in it, but they're younger. And so while they're gonna get sick more often, they're gonna die less.
He has another theory too. Many of the deadliest outbreaks have been in nursing homes. And he says Latinos, for cultural and economic reasons, are more likely to care for an older relative at home instead of in a facility. But Dr. Perez says the death count doesn't capture the pandemic's full toll. There's a message he's trying to get out to younger Spanish-speaking residents. Even if they survive a critical case of COVID-19, the effects could stay with some of them for life.
What I want young people to know is that with the numbers, like you're saying, to report on numbers, you can say, oh, this percentage of people got sick and this percentage of people died. You know what? We're seeing blood clots in young people. We're seeing strokes. The incredible inflammation that this disease causes is unlike anything I've ever seen. It's ruining the body. It's shutting down kidneys. It's shutting down the lungs. It's causing heart attacks. It's stroking them out. It's clotting their blood. If these people live through this disease, they're going to be disabled for the rest of their lives. I mean, the numbers we see now is just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to have a generation of people that are disabled.
Yeah, he's trying to scare people. It's what doctors do sometimes to get their patients to take their health seriously. But fear only gets you so far. Dr. Perez tries to mix that dire news with some hope.
You know, at the end of the talks, I say, venceremos, like we will win. We will beat this thing. It's about hand washing. It's about social distancing. It's about making sure you speak up and at work and make sure that you tell them that you need protections. You need masks. You need gloves. You need, you know, plexiglass screens between you and your friends. And if that can't happen, there's a need for organizing. There's a need for reporting to public health. There's a need to use the voice that you have. Not all of our patients feel like they have a voice. If they're undocumented and they know they can be fired at best case scenario, or that their boss can call immigration and have them arrested and put in detention in Tacoma, I mean, those are pretty severe consequences for trying to use your voice.
If people don't feel safe speaking up, Dr. Perez says there are confidential phone lines they can call and report violations of public health. Throughout the pandemic, there's this thing public health officials have been saying over and over. Even when you feel powerless against this disease, there are things you can do to protect yourself. Dr. Perez is tailoring that message to a specific audience, his patients. For them, in some cases, protecting themselves is literally about power.
Escucharnos en pláticas saludables. Gracias, Julia.
Así, así, Jorge. Muchas gracias y venceremos.
That story from KNKX's Will James. This originally aired on our podcast, Transmission. Subscribe to Transmission wherever you get your podcasts.